Welcome back to the Lay of the Land. We're going to repeat the phone number once more for you folks who'd like to call in. The number again is 844-967-2789. Also, we want to remind you that if you want to support the show, go to the website, WIGrassrootsNetwork.org. We appreciate donations if you are so inclined. This is listener-supported radio. So the next thing we wanted to chat about was in terms of Janet's hometown. Janet, what do you think your hopes are for the future of your hometown?
Thank you, Nate. I have many hopes for the future. I do believe that continuing to attract young families to the area is important. Again, the infrastructure they're putting in will support that and continue to grow with the betterment of really a small town, small village living. Promoting the facilities for growth, right? The population, the development, the home development, single family, affordable homes and housing on the cuff here. I'm going to say I'd like Main Street to be paved. You know, they've already instigated a lot of recreation activities for children. There's the river, so there's the rails to trails. We have state parks near us. The opportunity for small business, though, I think is one of the things that pops into my head in first. Kind of a unique business model. I'd like to have a shoe store because I'm a little bit hooked on shoes. And I think the small business, you know, just a uniqueness where it's a destination other than the recreation. Because if you come there for the recreation, it'd be nice to be able to stop for an ice cream. It'd be nice to be able to stop for some shopping in a boutique of some kind and something that's unique to the area. You know, we don't really have much of that. We have a couple of small museums. We still have a movie theater. That's a trivia clue. And, you know, I'm going to throw out another trivia clue if that's okay with you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I'm going back to some of the history. So the village I grew up in was the first incorporated village of the state in 1838. No cheating, no Google. You have to come up with that on yourself.
Yeah, good one. By the way, I want to do a disclaimer for all of my friends that are part of WGN or the Rural Caucus. You're exempt from this trivia question because you probably know my guess. So I want to be fair to everybody. You can enjoy thinking about which village we're talking about, but I hope we can let some of our audience have a fair shot at winning. So I think the other thing that is really a big draw for the development of your village, as you mentioned before, is the quality of your schools. Because that, I think a lot of families are, one of the first things they look at is, well, what kind of schools do they have? And fortunately, your community has always made a pretty big investment in their schools. And like you mentioned, you got all the soccer fields. They've got good athletic facilities. That's really, I don't think that would be anything that any parent wouldn't aspire to have. You've got families living in that village. How do they feel about the community for their children?
Well, I believe they're very happy with the community and what the improvements that it has made. The high school is in the process of investing over $1 million, if not more, to the gymnasium, the stadium, And also, I'll touch note on that a little bit, because in the world we live in today, security is one of the concerns. And with school shootings and all that kind of stuff going on, the school used to be very open. You could walk in the front door and go anywhere. And some of the changes they're doing to that is making areas of the school more restricted. And I really like that part of it. So it's not just the quality of education, the quality of the recreation and the sports events, but it's also the sense of safety. And, several of my sisters have nieces and nephews and grandchildren that, are growing up in the community in today's world. And I can't imagine that that's not a big part of a concern.
Yep. And that spills over into another, the general area of safety in the community. And fortunately, I think you would, you live there, I don't. Don't you think there's generally a feeling of safeness in the community as a whole?
I do, because neighbors look after neighbors. There are several larger communities where you may not know your neighbors. They're right next door to you, and you may not know them unless there's an emergency and people come together. So the fact that you can walk down the street, you can walk your dog, people are waving to you, they know your dog's name, they're friendly, their kids are playing in the yard, and there's a smaller sense of fear.
So there's a real sense of comfort and security in living in the village.
There is. That doesn't mean that there's not caution. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because it can happen anywhere. We're not exempt from any type of violence, from any type of influence of, what's the word I'm looking for, Nate? Influence of terror. Yeah. That's a little hard.
Yeah,
but we all know what we're talking about. There's potential for violence
everywhere in modern society, I guess. But the incidents, fortunately, in your villages are relatively small, and a sense of community. I think you hit a really key element of that strong sense of community that people have in the village. And you mentioned when you moved away, you were in much bigger cities, and there was a sense of community in certain neighborhoods and things. But I'm sure there was also, maybe I haven't lived in large cities like you have, but is it safe to say that in really large cities, there's a lot of sense of disconnection from a lot of folks?
I think that's fair to say. I think the largest difference that I see living in any urban area and a village like we have here that I love is we have larger lawns. There's areas for kids to play with, and that becomes less and less as you move into larger cities. And as even with the new developments that I've seen here, there's still a sense of land and that sense of a nice lawn. And that is something that I haven't seen change, and I think that does give you a sense of security, that you have your kind of your boundary. But also the lawns merge into the neighbor's lawn. And the only way you can tell is when they mow it and you don't. So it's just a very nice and very significant contrast to larger cities where you have higher high-rise rental properties and just a lot more, obviously, population of hundreds of thousands versus less than 10.
Good points. I believe we've got a caller. What do you got, Ron?
Well, my question is about challenges facing small business economies, and that is about Walmart. How close is the nearest Walmart to the village you're talking about? And in general, how has the proliferation of Walmarts affected the ability of small businesses in these small communities to thrive?
Good question, Ron. What do you think, Janet?
You know what, Ron? That is an absolutely valid question and perfect, because it has made a big impact. We used to have shoe stores. We used to have dress shops. We used to have, smaller. That family sense that you didn't have to travel very far to get some of the essentials. So as far as the nearest Walmart, I would have to say,
I don't know, 15 miles.
That might be a giveaway.
Yeah, I'd
say it's about 15, 20 miles in either direction.
So you have a follow-up question, Ron? Are you still there, Ron?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Follow up?
Well, I was just going to say Sam Walton's original business model was to reach small towns that couldn't get to the cities, but after him, they even moved into larger cities. So not only are they hurting the economy of small towns, but big cities as well. That's all.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for call. I remember very well when I was traveling through Missouri, and I saw the first store that Sam Walton put up, and it was a very much like a sort of a dime store, kind of a general store kind of thing. And then, of course, he just kept right on developing the concept. And I also went to Bentonville. And if you ever have anybody that's touring and you get into Arkansas, go to Bentonville and see what the national headquarters for Walmart looks like. You might be surprised to see how modest, actually, the facilities of at least as they were probably 15 years ago. They may be changed by now, but I was struck by how modest those facilities were. That control, of course, the temperature, the heat, all of the major services to the Walmarts throughout the country are controlled out of Bentonville, Arkansas. So talk about centralized control. There you got it. So Ron raised a really important question about the impact of a major national retailer on local communities. And as you suggested, Janet, it would be great to have more local entrepreneurs and more local development. But the push against that, of course, is these national corporations that are gobbling up a lot of customer dollars.
Yeah, you're right, Nate. And I don't think that's, this is not a slam against those large businesses. They have the ability, the funding, the resources to put all, to spread nationwide. The thing about that is that's all good. The village I live in is so close to these that's I think one of the reasons why it draws instead of promoting the small businesses within the village.
So Janet, we've got another question here. Martina, thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Hi Nate, good talking with you again. I missed the grassroots network a lot of things. Anyhow, so back in 1980 I went to one of the early Walmart stores in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I was down there on a disaster assignment for Christmas. They had floods and tornadoes in southeastern Missouri. And I was dispatched to go to Marble Hill and set up a service center there. And I was told to stop at Walmart and get some scrub brushes and cleaning supplies to take up to Marble Hill, because they didn't have any such store at Marble Hill. And you're right. It was like a five and dime. Like, oh, remind me old Woolworth store. You know, crowded aisles with little displays, but I found most of what I needed. And then we had a shelter in Marble Hill that night and a service center the next day, and things turned out well. But I was surprised. I had never heard of Walmart before, and that was an early one. Then I was so proud of it when they came to Kankakee, Illinois, where I live, and they had a sign there, Made in USA, and proud of it. And, you know, that didn't last too long. But I thought, you know, that was an endeavor worth supporting. But you're right, you know, it started with Rubbermaid. They put Rubbermaid out of business for a while by undercutting the price they would pay to Rubbermaid for its goods. And Rubbermaid really kept Walmart going for a little while at the beginning. Anyhow, I'm going to shut up now.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Martina. When you have a historic perspective on a major retailer like Walmart, you begin to see even that corporation has made a major change. Janet, did you have a comment?
If we have just a few more seconds, yes. I just want to make it clear that this is not a slam against Walmart or big box stores. This is really just the contrast between a small village and what there is to offer and what we can build there with the small communities. It also has to be cost effective, and I understand that, and profitable versus the competition of big box stores. So I just don't want you guys to think that we're targeting Walmart. I just use that as an example. Okay.
Okay. I think more of our village retailers have got to be niche marketed, kind of unique retail situation. So emphasis has got to be on creativity and efficiency. It's a challenge. Any kind of entrepreneurial opportunity is a challenge, always. So thank you. We're going to go for a break, and we'll be right back to Lay of the Land.